Welcome to the Risk and Repeat podcast, episode number 153. I'm Rob Wright, Security News Director at TechTarget, and I am here with our security news writer, Alex Kalafi. Alex, welcome.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks for having me once again.
It's good to be back. We took last week off.
Yeah.
It was a busy week for me. I don't know about for you. There was a lot going on at the Wright household. Whatever. Week five of quarantine. Is it week five? Week six?
The weeks blend together. It's kind of like how in the zombie apocalypse, like there's like one person who has track of the calendar once it's like 6 months down the line.
Yeah.
I don't know what date it is anymore.
Yeah, me neither. We should note, though, we are recording this, and I'm going to look up the date on Thursday, April 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot going on, a lot of COVID-related stuff in security, a lot of not really COVID-related stuff in security as well as one would expect. And the thing we're going to discuss today is, I guess we're going to take stock of what's been happening the last few weeks, the last month, specifically as it pertains to ransomware, because we've seen a lot of vendors produce a lot of research, short-term research, looking at sort of trends over the last, you know, couple months, the first quarter, January, February, March, and now we're into April, and what's going on with the threat landscape with ransomware. Is it increasing? Is it decreasing? Are we seeing attacks shift away from certain popular verticals to others? And sort of the reasons, there may be reasons behind that. But Alex, you did a story just recently. VMware Carbon Black. VMware acquired Carbon Black. We're just going to call them Carbon Black. We don't need to say the whole thing, but VMware acquired Carbon Black, I believe it was last year. Endpoint security vendor, they produced some research that had some pretty, it had one in particular, pretty eye-popping figure. So I guess we'll start there because that's probably, of all the reports and research that I've seen recently, that was the one that I think that probably stood out the most to me. So what happened there with that report? What did they find?
Right. So the big headline, the big sort of scoop is that there's a 148% increase in ransomware attacks in March over baseline levels in February. Plus, there's been a massive spike in attacks on financial institutions. But the 148% is I think, the big thing of note.
Yeah, that is a sobering statistic. The full report, which you can read on Carbon Black's website, has additional data points in there that are also concerning. But that that statistic obviously sticks out big time. Now, you wrote a story about this for Search Security, and I thought it was pretty interesting because, man, this is really bad. This is sort of doom and gloom, but it's not, it wasn't all bad news. I mean, I guess I should have expected that there was going to be a surge toward financial institutions to try to, I guess, make more money because financial institutions are probably very sensitive at this point and they can't afford to lose any money or any sort of confidence in their ability to get currency to where they need to get the money to. But I don't know, what were your feelings on it? I mean, you talked to VMware, you talked to Tom Kellerman, actually, the head security, cybersecurity strategist at VMware, at Carbon Black. So what were your takeaways? Did you feel like it was concerning? Like, were you just like, oh man, things have really hit the fan now? Or
I guess I've been the security beat for what, 6-7 months now.
Yep.
And I guess I'm kind of desensitized to this stuff already. so like
there.
it's kind of like I've been in here long enough that I'm not shocked by anything I see anymore, but I'm still new enough that I'm not totally sure what that 148% means. One thing we were talking about in before we started the show was, is this based on a sample size? What does this mean in relation to some of the other stories we're going to discuss on this episode? I guess I'm more interested in your take.
I took a positive away from this because there was an important data point in there that showed that, I guess, healthcare organizations weren't seeing the number of attacks that I guess they normally see. The vertical was a little less, a little less targeted. You know, they say in the report it's normally a top three vertical for targeting. It finished March as the 7th.
Mm-hmm. I have that right. 7th.
7th.
Yep.
Okay. Good memory on my part. So I thought that was good, and you know, I kept that in mind because there was another report that came out recently. The MSSoft report this week did their Q1 state of ransomware report, and specifically in the U.S. So we should note Carbon Black, VMware, their report was global. It was a global report. The U.S. state of ransomware report from MSSoft said that they saw, you know, as the sort of COVID pandemic got worse, the number of successful attacks against some key verticals, government, education, and healthcare, actually went down. And I thought that was interesting. And those two data points, you know, supported one another. And I thought, I don't know. I guess I took a positive away and I thought, well, this is good because maybe and we talked about this previously, maybe the threat actors, the ransomware gangs like Maze and a couple others out there who said they were going to swear off attacking healthcare and medical facilities during the pandemic, maybe they're actually abiding by that pledge. Maybe they're legit. Now, there are other people in the security community who say that we'd be absolute fools for believing that. And they're probably right. But I guess, you know, so far it is looking good. I'm slightly optimistic. So let me ask you this. Do you think that this is just because anything can happen in a month? Anything can happen in a couple of weeks? I mean, we're not talking about a huge sample size just yet. You think this is a statistical aberration? Or do you think that there have been fewer targeted attacks on healthcare?
I think with two separate studies that kind of support each other, it's hard to call anything outright a fact, but it sounds like it's pretty safe to assume that at least for right now, healthcare isn't getting attacked as often, which hopefully says, it said to you, it sounds like, but it's also saying to me that maybe there are some things that are a little too sacred right now for the cyber criminals. There are still some jerks out there given how bad the financial institutions are getting hammered. So right. I'm guessing there's just as much cybercrime going on. It's just they've sort of tilted where they direct it to.
Yeah. No, and that's a good point because you have done previous coverage here on Search Security about the overall threat landscape, so not just ransomware, that it hasn't really, if I'm recalling this correctly, you had heard that the attacks have shifted. There's more things sort of taking advantage of the COVID-19 pandemic from a social engineering phishing perspective, but it's not like cybercrime overall has surged during this time. Is that correct?
Correct, based on the it was anecdotal evidence we got from some experts in the field. But I mean, anecdotal evence. I'm not gonna pull a Rush and say that anecdotal just means it's true. I sure. saw that John Oliver. Yeah. But anecdotal coming from them means that there's probably at least some reality to back it up.
Yeah.
Or at least it can be trusted. Their anecdotal evidence can be trusted more than the average bear's anecdotal evidence.
Right. And they're paying, I mean, the vendors we've talked to, that you've talked to specifically as well, over the last several weeks about these stories, they're pretty tapped into this stuff. It's not like they're pulling stuff out of thin air. They keep a pretty close eye on what's going on with the threat landscape. But then I guess, this came up in conversation, and I'm not sure how to think about it just yet. Some folks have been talking about how, well, you know, maybe the work from home surge, the number of people working remotely, teleconferencing, commuting rather, because so many offices are closed. Maybe that's done something to dampen specifically ransomware, because if your laptop gets hit, you know, it's like, who cares? Like, the threat actors are not going to just sort of say, well, let's ransom this guy's laptop. They want to get into the network. And maybe because so many people are spread out and working from home, that it's harder. I don't necessarily buy that, because I think that our laptops are generally pretty underprotected, and I don't think it would be very hard for somebody to get credentials from, you know, your average enterprise user and figure out a way to get into, like, you know, we use cloud services to get into our cloud services and start really spreading the malware. But I don't know. Have you heard anything to that effect about that being a factor here?
No, not really. I guess the only thing I'll say about that is I think about the protection of laptops and just in general. And our laptops are probably pretty well protected compared to the average bear's. I mean, we do have a VPN we log into. You and I, especially you, but me too, I care a lot about making sure I don't click on the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. But think about all the smaller companies out there that aren't necessarily tech target, where they just have a standard laptop, and they might not even have a proper network. If anything, I think leaving the office and going out into the home and going onto the home network just leaves everything underprotected.
Yeah, and I, you know, at least one vendor out there that we've talked to recently would agree with you and has evidence to support that. Our colleague Ariel Waldman did a good story on some research that came out of BitSight. And BitSight it was a really interesting study where they looked at the rate of malware infections on work from home / remote office networks compared to corporate networks. And they spun up all these, you know, they analyzed all these IP addresses that were associated with corporate, you know, users, but obviously working remotely. And they just found, like, you know, incidences of like trickbot malware was almost four times more likely to be on your work from home network. The Mirai botnet, which obviously, I mean, that's not that surprising. That targets like home routers and DVRs and things like that. That was 20 times more likely. So I think you're probably right. I think it's, if there is an effect, it's probably not a good one. But then that brings us like back to the big question of the podcast, and one we'll probably end on here. Do you think, does it feel like what's your gut say, like your heart of hearts, your bitter cynical InfoSec journalist heart. I know you've only been doing this 6 months, but like, do you think that ransomware really is maybe down a tick, down a bit, down significantly, or do you think it's probably the same and we haven't caught up to all of the companies that have been affected? We haven't caught up to the different companies like obviously you wrote the story about Cognizant getting hit. Cognizant's a huge company. It'd be pretty hard to hide that. They disclosed it pretty quickly after the first report came out, and even disclosed that Maze had hit them. But those disclosures are rare. So do you think it's actually gone down, or do you think we're maybe just catching up to, like, we haven't caught up to all the disclosures and attacks that have probably happened in secrecy and are being kept under wraps?
So there's that saying, haters gonna hate. And I think my sort of take on that phrase would be cyber criminals gonna cyber crime.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about there being less cyber. I think we're going to have plenty of cyber crime to go around. I think you and I are going to stay well employed, Rob. At least in terms of the amount of cyber crime that's going to be going out there. Yeah. What I'll be interested to see is, so this current wave of COVID-19, I mean, everyone's saying that it might end up happening in two main waves. This wave was kind of unexpected, at least to some degree. I mean, we could have seen what was happening in some other parts of the world and make some guesses, but the extent that things are happening around the world, not that many people saw coming.
Yep.
I'm wondering, this next wave of COVID-19, which is probably going to happen later this year.
Yeah.
Now that people are going to be better prepared for it, is that going to be when the cyber criminals start to like understand where they can make the most money and have a better understanding? And we're going to see a refined version of what we're seeing right now. And I guess what I'm curious about is, now that they'll see where all the attention is going in the news cycle, are they going to be more open about attacking healthcare organizations now that they'll have this renewed confidence? I don't know. Yep. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now that there's a more refined approach and they see where the attention's going. I'm guessing, would the refined second wave that's probably coming include healthcare organizations?
Yeah. I think right now that the activity is probably just shifted and they've moved away from healthcare targets, and that overall ransomware really isn't down. It's probably, based on the Carbon Black data, which is global, it's probably gone up. It's just sort of it's on its normal trajectory. And we just haven't, it's shifted away from certain targets. As the threat actors are maybe trying to keep a lower profile. So that's where I'm at currently, but you bring up a great point. I don't know how long that's going to last. And if things start getting tough for these threat actors and they need to make money, if they need to make money to continue doing what they do, to put food on the table, so to speak, then yeah, I do. I think that they would absolutely, maybe not U.S. hospitals, maybe they would be concerned about hitting them. Maybe they would be concerned about hitting medical facilities in certain parts of Europe as well. But I think you're probably, maybe I'm being too pessimistic. I swore I was going to try to be more optimistic, but you made a great point. And I think that, I think that's a very real risk down the road, which I guess sort of closes this episode out with a bit of a downer, but it's something that we should at least start preparing for, for what may happen in the second wave when this truce may start to ebb a little and activity picks up because everybody, it's the new normal and people are expecting it and they know what's going on and they know how to work through it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that is depressing, Alex. Thanks a lot.
always a ray of sunshine, Rob. Trying to follow your example the best I can.
Well, there you go. I guess I only have myself to blame. Yeah, but we'll obviously be keeping an eye on the threat landscape and where the trends are pointing for ransomware and just cyber threats in general amid COVID-19 as the year goes along. Alex, thank you as always for participating in the podcast.
Thank you.
And thank you to the readers and listeners of Search Security. I'm Rob Wright, and we will see you next time.